Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Friday, 11 the 12th. Today is, oh man, I'm reading from my digital calendar, and I was about to say today is Friday, 11 the 20th, but it's Friday, November the 20th. It's a good thing it's Friday, right? Oddly enough, we're going to talk about anger today. It seems like I'm a little too jovial to talk about anger, but I want to look at a pretty famous, or one of the gospel accounts of Jesus getting angry in the temple, and talk about anger and address the fact that anger is not always sinful. Sometimes we make the mistake of believing that every time we get angry, it's a sin. But in reality, anger is just an emotion. It's a feeling. It's what we do with that anger that really matters. That's how we get ourselves into trouble. So what we'll talk about today is the fact that there are times when anger is justified. There's a reason. There are good reasons for us to be angry. But what Jesus would like us to do, what Jesus did, is use that anger to motivate us, or to motivate himself to do something. So Jesus was angry, and he did something positive. He dealt with that anger in a positive way. And again, that's what we as Christians are called to do, to deal with our anger in a certain way as a reaction to an injustice. We get angry because we see something wrong, and then what do? We do something about it. We don't let that anger consume us or to lead us to sin. That's an important distinction, and I think in a lot of ways, it's a pretty comforting and liberating thought, the knowledge that it's okay to get angry, it's okay to be angry, but what you do with that anger really does matter. So that's what we're going to talk about. If we have time, I'll briefly touch on Sunday's Solemnity of Christ the King, but if you want to get a better idea or a more in-depth look at the Mass readings for this coming Sunday, the Solemnity of Christ the King, I invite you to check out my weekly program, The Gary Zimak Show, which is available right now. You can download that podcast right now for a closer look, a more in-depth look at Sunday's Mass readings. Okay, so we'll talk about it because we wrap the church year up this Sunday. This is the end of the liturgical or the church year. And next week, we go into the Advent season. You believe that? And after we pray, I want to talk a little bit more about Advent. But let's pray. Let's get the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's get him working so that I say the right things. I don't want to say too much without getting him involved. So why don't we do that now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we turn to you now in prayer. We recognize the fact that you are present with us right now. We recognize, Father, that you love us. We recognize that you are all-powerful. We recognize that you know our needs better than we do. But we also understand, Father, that you wish us to turn to you for all of our needs, even if some of them aren't necessarily needs. But we're going to let you work that out. We're just going to come to you with what we think we need, and we'll let you provide what we actually need. Father, we pray for a better understanding of anger. We pray for the grace to properly respond when we are angry. Father, I ask you to bless each of us this day. Bless our family, our friends. Help us be used as your instruments to spread the good news to everyone we meet. Father, I ask you to use me today, to speak through me, to give me the message that you would like delivered on this program. And please let all of our minds and all of our hearts be receptive to that message. Father, we ask this in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, my name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. I hope some of you got a chance to catch my segment on Relevant Radio this morning. I was on, and I believe the podcast, I think it re-airs, but there's also a podcast available for at relevantradio.com. I talked about getting prepared for Advent, getting ready to get ready. Some of what we talked about on the show earlier in the week, you know, we got a week to do this, a weekend, one day, or actually a weekend, a couple of days, to get ready to launch into Advent. And here's the thing I wanted to mention to you. I was thinking about this. We are going to be doing Advent on this program. What I'm going to do is walk with you each of the weekdays of Advent, every Monday through Friday, and we're going to focus on something different every day. It's going to be based on the Mass readings, because the church does a really good job during Advent and during Lent of choosing specific Mass readings to help us to get closer to Jesus progressively as we get closer to Christmas. So there's a period of preparation, and we're going to work on that together. So I really hope you'll be able to join me so that we can get the most out of this Advent season. And I've said it before, sometimes Advent is a tricky season because we're always so busy, we're so focused on Christmas, that we miss the whole idea of preparing during Advent, spiritual preparation. This year is going to be a little different because some of the external distractions won't be there. So in a certain sense, it might be easier to prepare this Advent. But I want to go through it with you day by day. Let's do it. Let's really try to make this the best Advent that we have ever had and together. So we'll kick that off the Monday after the first Sunday of Advent. So just in about another week or so, we'll kick off this daily Advent retreat. This is something that I've done something like this in the past, but I think it's time to do it again to really help you and help me too to get the most out of the Advent season so that we're ready. You know, we know that Christmas is coming. We know that date when we celebrate the birth of the Lord. So it's not a surprise. So therefore, we can use each day leading up to that special day to prepare, to get rid of some of the junk that might get in the way of our relationship with Jesus so that we can get closer to him, okay? So I'm excited about that. This is just something I decided. The idea has been bouncing around in my head for a few days, but last night, this is really something I want to do. So Advent retreat right here, a daily walk through Advent right here on Following the Truth, beginning on what, I don't even know whatever the date is. We'll talk more about it last week. How's that for advanced preparation? Oh, it starts someday. I don't know when the day is. Oh, man. Thank you for putting up with me. I appreciate that. And in case you're a first-time listener to the show and you wonder who this knucklehead is, my name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Following the Truth. For more information about me and my work, or to pick up a copy of any of my books, including my latest, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit, all you need to do is visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. You can find out all you need to know at the website. Okay, let's talk about this anger thing. This is the story of Jesus entering the temple and becoming angry at what he saw. There are different versions of this in each of the Gospels. This is Luke's version from today's Daily Mass. But it's enough to get the point across and to really launch this discussion about anger. This is Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. Let me read it. We'll talk a little bit about it as we go through it. It's not very long. It's only three verses. Jesus entered the temple area and proceeded to drive out those who were selling things, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And every day he was teaching in the temple area. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people, meanwhile, were seeking to put him to death, but they could find no way to accomplish their purpose because all the people were hanging on his words. Now we see quite a contrast here, but this is not the most detailed version of Jesus getting angry in the temple when he overturned the tables. That's left out of Luke's version. In this version, it's a little bit simplified. Jesus drove out those who were selling things, and he said to them, "My house quoting scripture, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. What's happening here is people were selling things, generally things used to be used for sacrifice in the temple, you know, but it was at the same time they were extorting the people. They were charging exorbitant fees. They were abusing their role and trying to capitalize on the needs of the people by turning it into a marketplace that was also taking advantage of the people. So they were charging too much for what they were selling too as well. But the point is, the main point is that Jesus got angry over what he saw. He saw an injustice, right? And he reacted. So sometimes we feel that getting angry is a sin. Getting angry is not a sin. Getting angry is it's a response. It's an emotion. There are times when you and I should get angry. If somebody's treating somebody else unfairly, that's a cause to get angry. Maybe one of your kids, if you're a parent, is treating you unfairly or your spouse unfairly or doing something wrong. That's a reason to get angry. Maybe you see someone on TV. Maybe you see a government official or a politician running for office talking about how abortion should be a right. As a Christian, that should make me angry because we know that abortion is murder. No matter what you call it, it's murder. I should get angry about that. Now, that being said, there is such a thing as a righteous or justified anger. We see something wrong, we should get angry. But the key is, this is the key, it's not really that complicated. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense. The key is, that's a feeling, that's an emotion, that anger. What does it lead us to do? Does it lead us to hate somebody? Does it lead us to yell at somebody or curse them out? Does it lead us to physical violence? Does it lead us to some sort of a verbal attack? Does it lead us to go on social media and call people names, make fun of their appearance, say that they're going to hell? You know, what does that anger lead us to do? If that anger leads us to commit a sin, obviously the anger is wrong. It becomes sinful only when it leads to sinful behavior. If, on the other hand, my anger over the injustice of abortion leads me to contribute financially to a crisis pregnancy center, to maybe pray peacefully outside of an abortion clinic, maybe to speak out on social media, to vote for pro-life candidates, to not vote for candidates who support abortion. When my anger leads me to do positive things or good things, then my anger is justified. And my anger is good. Anger can be good. You know, if my kids are speaking badly to me or treating me unfairly or getting into trouble or doing something illegal, I should get angry. But that anger should lead me to take some sort of action. You see, not to hate somebody, not to curse them out, not to make fun of them, not to do anything that would be considered sinful. And as long as my anger leads me to action, positive action, then that anger is a good thing. So how about if I'm angry that I just committed the same sin that I've been committing over and over and over? That anger should lead me not to condemn myself and to give up or to become discouraged or fall into despair. That anger should lead me to work harder and to depend more on God's grace and to cooperate with that grace. So you see what happens? That anger in us can lead us to do good. That anger can lead us to do good things. And that's one of the reasons God gives us this emotion of anger. When I remember one time I was speaking somewhere in the Midwest, and somebody was talking about anger, you know, getting angry to me, like after I had given my talk, and they said, well, it's okay to get angry. Even Jesus wasn't perfect. Well, Jesus was perfect. The fact that Jesus got angry at the injustice taking place in the temple wasn't a sign that he was not perfect. It was a sign that he had human emotions. You know, that Jesus was indeed perfect. Jesus did not lose control. Jesus was just reacting to a situation. And what did he do? He drove these people out of the temple because they were abusing the temple. The temple is a place of prayer. I find it interesting, and this is that tension that existed between Jesus and the religious leaders of the time. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people were seeking to put Jesus to death. But they couldn't find a way to do it because all the people were hanging on his words. In other words, he had the attention of all the people and the leaders. Listen, these are the religious leaders. These are the guys who should have known better. They're looking to put Jesus to death. Why? Because they consider him to be a threat. He's cramping their style because they were probably getting some kickbacks out of the people selling things in the temple. They were in it for themselves. They didn't have good motives. And you'll see throughout the Gospels, Jesus was always at odds with the leaders, the people who should have known better. And we're talking the religious leaders too. People who were technically the holy people, the ones who should have known better. Their heart was not in the right place. They were essentially hypocrites. They were going through the motions. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say that this is why organized religion is bad, because Jesus was always against the religious leader. No, organized religion is not bad. Jesus founded a church. What's bad is people going through the motions and going to church and saying their prayers, but living lives as if they were pagans. That's what's bad. There's nothing wrong with organized religion. In fact, organized religion is what Jesus gave his life for. He came here to found a church. But if you're a hypocrite and going through the motions, that's a whole different story. So when somebody says, I'm spiritual but not religious, typically that's a cop-out. We can't look at anybody who is part of an organized religion, even a leader, a member, whatever it is, whoever they are, and say that because they're part of an organized religion, that they are an enemy of Jesus. Yeah, if somebody is a member of a church and they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if they're living their life as if Jesus wasn't real to them, then certainly they've got a big problem. But we can't condemn all organized religion just because many of the religious leaders of the time were against the mission of Jesus. It just shows that corruption existed in the church back then, and we see it now. You're always going to see that because the church is made up of sinners. We're all sinners. So just because somebody is a leader, you know, speaking from a Catholic point of view now, the Pope, the bishops, priests, they're imperfect too. We got to remember that. They might be in a leadership role within the church, but they're just as much of a sinner, in theory. You know, I'm not saying more or less, but in theory, we're all sinners to one degree or another. So you're going to see people doing bad things, even if they're in a leadership position sometimes. So don't let it rattle your faith. That's to be expected. But getting back to the anger thing, your anger is completely morally neutral. What you do with that anger really matters. And, you know, from a common sense point of view, holding on to anger is a very self-destructive practice. If somebody offends you and you refuse to forgive them and you keep letting that anger remain inside of you, then that's going to eat you up. Now, granted, you can't always just get rid of your feelings, because remember, you can't necessarily change your feelings. But you can do things that may bring about a change in your feelings. If somebody offends me, if somebody said something bad to me, or or betrayed me in some way. If every day I run through it again in my head and just play the whole scenario out in my head, the anger is going to grow. If I role play, did you ever do that? Somebody said something to you, and then after the fact, you think of all these things that you should have said back to them, all these ways you should have insulted them back, and you didn't. That's just going to make you miserable. And even worse, you can cross the line and end up committing a serious sin, depending on what you're thinking. If you think violent thoughts against a person, you can end up, believe it or not, committing a mortal sin. It can be pretty serious. We want to watch that. We want to watch how we think. Instead, what we can do is say either, you know, you might be able to say it to the person, but not always. Even if you're not able to talk to the person, you can say in your prayers, Father, I forgive that person. Imitate Jesus when he was on the cross. That's what he did. Father, I forgive them. I want you to please bless them and please take these negative feelings away. That would be a very valid prayer. Even if the feelings don't go away, you still didn't commit a sin. You see that? You didn't commit a sin by feeling a certain way because you didn't continue to mull over those negative feelings. You took them, you prayed for, you took the feelings, you moved beyond them, and you prayed for the person. Now, I'm hoping this makes you feel good today because I think sometimes we feel that if we're getting angry, then we're doing something wrong. Not true. If we're getting angry and it leads us to commit a sin, then yeah, we're doing something wrong. Now, there are also times that we get angry when we maybe shouldn't get angry. What about if I'm angry at the other drivers on the road? This guy's going too slow. This guy is a knucklehead next to me. You know, I'm sick of this traffic. Sometimes our anger, we can learn something from our anger. And maybe I've got a problem with impatience. And there are times when I've realized that. I thought, you know, I'm getting angry here, and I really shouldn't be getting this angry over something so minor. And then I took it to prayer. And I prayed for the grace to become more patient with other people. We can get angry because other people aren't reacting in the way that we think they should react. That happens all the time. But I don't have control over other people. And oftentimes that's why we get angry, right? But that can teach me something. I can learn something from my anger. So while it's not a sin to get angry per se, just a feeling, that anger can lead to sin, or it can lead me to realize that I have some things in my life, some unresolved issues in my life that I need to work on, this is the perfect time of year to realize that as we launch into Advent. I can work on some of these things. You know, Advent is in a way similar to Lent. Not as penitential, not as intense, not as long, but Advent is a time of preparation. So if you're impatient, maybe this is a good time to work on becoming more patient, to let the Holy Spirit work through you. Remember, patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, to let the Spirit work through you and try to improve that way. So anger, not necessarily a bad thing. And in fact, St. Paul, I think it's in his letter to the Ephesians, says, if you're angry, let it be without sin. You know, so it's okay to be angry, but just don't let that anger drive you to sin. And this is the one example where we see Jesus getting really frustrated with the people abusing the temple. But really, I want you to remember this, that he never lost control. And if your anger leads to a loss of control, that's another problem. We don't want to be out of control. In life, you just never want to be out of control. It's not a good place to be. So if your anger boils over to the point where you do lose control, then that's also something you certainly want to work on. You don't want your anger to get so bad that it causes you to lose control. Okay? Now look, if you have any questions, even over the weekend, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, gary@followingthetruth.com. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. We still have a couple minutes left here before the show ends. And then I look forward, God willing, to being back with you here on Monday for another episode of Following the Truth. Now, before I go, I want to ask you a favor, if I could. You hear me mention from time to time about donations to keep my ministry going forward. It's been a little light this week. It's been actually very light this week. If you are able, if you enjoy this show and you're able to help me out and keep me on the air and allow me to keep my ministry going so I can continue to put out my daily newsletter, my email devotional, and do this program and do my weekly program, none of which I charge for, and you would be able to give me to send a donation along my way, I would be very, very appreciative of that. Now, the way you would do that is you go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, followingthetruth.com. You click on donate, and then that will take you to PayPal. You click on the button, and you're automatically, well, actually, you go to a page on my website, and it's linked to PayPal. So from that page, you can either make a one-time donation, or you can become a monthly sponsor. If you're able to do that and you feel like you have benefited from my work and you feel it might help somebody else, if the work can continue, I would ask you to please consider making a donation. It really would mean a lot to me. And it's one thing, I never like talking about this. This is one of those topics I would rather not discuss. But if I don't ask, somebody told me this a long time ago, if I don't let you know there's a need, you're not going to know there's a need. Well, let me tell you, there's a need. I was talking to a fellow speaker today. All of our speaking work has completely vanished, and we don't know when it's going to come back. You know, we're hoping maybe next Lent. I have some things tentatively scheduled for Lent of 2021, but they're very tentative. We don't know what the world's going to be like next year. So if you're able to help me out financially, I would be so grateful. Followingthetruth.com, all you need to do is click on donate. If you can become a monthly sponsor, that really helps because that gives me an idea of what I can expect in terms of income each month. You can cancel that at any time, but if you're able to do that, I would appreciate it. If you would rather do a one-time donation, that would be wonderful too. Above all, please keep me and my family in your prayers, and I promise to keep you in my daily prayers as well. Okay, sound like a deal? God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to being back with you Monday on Following the Truth. See ya.